Hello everyone, this is Ryan and I'm here with Eric at Sherpa Foundry with Tina and Jason. What's up everyone?
Hey.
Hey.
Hey. So if you hear construction, it's because we're right next to, what is this, Market and...
Fourth and Market.
And they're building some sort of underground tunnel that has been going on for like two to 10 years already.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's agile.
Yeah,
it's a subway. It's apparently a subway. That's the rumor.
I love working with software because it's so much faster, and you can also change it more easily.
I think they're A/B testing what road they
pivot.
Can build
it sucks to pivot.
Yeah,
I hear. Yeah, how you doing, Eric?
Doing great. Eric with Product Hunt. I'm super excited to have Tina Jason. You want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm Tina Sharkey. I'm the CEO of Sherpa Foundry. A fan of Product Hunt, and excited to dig into the conversation.
Sweet.
Jason Shaw, founder and CEO of Do, user number 33 on Product Hunt.
Oh, snap. Dropping the user number.
Continues to grow in value over time, which is a great asset to hold. And Do is a way to run productive meetings and the first company incubated at Sherpa Foundry.
You were in the first email list, right, for Product Hunt?
The Linky Dink?
Yeah.
Or thereafter? I think I was just after the Linky Dink. We were like, hey, man, here's this thing I'm trying.
Yeah.
Which I'm waiting until the day I can like tweet that out and be like, hey man, this was my moment with Product Hunt before it was on the radar.
Yeah, that was a while ago. Wow.
Yeah, well, and we... It wasn't, right? It's
funny.
It wasn't actually that long ago.
I feel like a lot has happened, let's just say.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, and when we first met, you were at Salesforce, right?
Yammer.
Yammer
at the time.
Yammer, and then you were also GA doing...
Product management classes.
Salesforce Yammer.
Yeah, I know. Embarrassing. Yeah. I'm going to cut that out.
Doesn't this guy talk about products all the time?
Yeah, I know. I should get it straight.
Okay, but not products that haven't become companies yet. So it's okay.
Yeah.
You get a pass on that one.
Yeah. So you're working on Do, which is in the productivity space. And we were just chatting before we started turning the mic on and about productivity and what apps you use there. We use like Slack, and I could use some help, though, on being more productive, particularly with email, because I'm... struggling right now to like manage email, and I'm also just really bad with my email habits. Do you use anything for email in particular to help with that?
I have two answers to that.
Yeah.
One is the product answer of, we could talk about like Boomerang and we use Streak for CRM stuff. That's one answer, and there, we could dig into that.
Is the second answer no?
The second answer is use your brain and like don't respond to some emails that you don't need to respond to. I was listening to like the Roy Bahat one that you guys were talking about and email and stuff, and it's like we can keep adding products to it, and that's definitely true. And Boomerang has been great because I can just like not respond to something right then, which contributes to higher volume, right? If you're going back and forth. 2 days later, it's one response, and then it's done with, or they figure it out themselves, right?
Yeah.
So that's been, and Boomerang's been around forever, right? But I feel like it's sometimes how you use these products, or remembering to use them. So for me, Boomerang and Streak have been great, but I would also say that for Ryan Hoover's brain and habits would be a
when,
big product.
When is someone going to build just a fave?
Yeah.
Just you could just
a light button on the email? Yeah, totally.
An auto GIF reply?
Yeah.
There's a product that I just heard about that had my iPhone not dropped into water. I had it written down, but we won't go there now. But that actually does and has really good keystrokes. It might be called keystroke. That has great auto replies. I mean, you write them, obviously, but there is a certain cohort of stuff that comes into your inbox. You just want to say the same thing, and maybe you want to customize it a little bit. But just to have that paragraph that drops in would be great. So that is something I definitely want to do. From my perspective, Sherpa Foundry, we run our email on Google, and then I have my own private Gmail stuff. And so I still use the star system. So I definitely star stuff as a way to remember what to go back to. I'm like, I delete as much as I possibly can, but I still have 38,000 unread emails. So I'm not exactly sure what that's about. I also try and make it like a routine to unsubscribe to a stuff that I just am not using, because it just ends up coming all the time and really clogging things. And then this whole idea of going back to stuff, you just never go back to stuff.
Yeah, so, I start things, but I seem to never come back to the starred things.
You know what I do is in the Google Labs, you can like set up your inbox so that the stars are on top. And so sometimes at the end of 3 days, I'll just do a session where I'll just pull all the stars up, kind of knock them all out, and then go right back to my old settings. And so that's actually been a good productivity hack, but it's my own hack of what I do. Yeah. The most productive thing, and everyone in the office makes fun of me, actually everyone I've ever met makes fun of me, probably because there's so much content to work with, but I've become obsessed with Siri dictation. And I find that dictating as I'm walking or as I'm driving or in these little moments in between, enables me to, one, have much more thoughtful responses as opposed to, okay, or talk to you later, or yeah. just something that actually keeps the thread going when I actually just want to shut it down or I want to complete the thought. Mm-hmm. But being able to dictate, and Siri has gotten so much better, especially on the iPhone 6, it's actually worth doing dictation because the percentage of corrections have gone down. I mean, maybe I correct 10%. Yeah. It's actually that good.
Wow.
And so on the iPhone, I haven't done it as much on the laptop as I do it on the iPhone. It's actually made my email responses much faster, my texts much better, and my ability to sort of cut conversations from, let's say, 5 threads to 3.
Mm-hmm.
I've definitely seen an improvement just by doing dictation.
I haven't used Siri dictation in a while, so let's do a test here. Do you preface it with dictate Siri?
No, like, I like you here. I'll give you my dictation.
Okay, go for
I've
it.
Become, like,
you're dictating in my Gmail.
Exactly.
Who's the recipient?
This is a test of dictation, period, space, new line. What I really want to say is, has it gotten better, question mark, new line? I'm not sure, question mark. Let me ask other people, dot, dot, dot. Well, when I, quote, think, unquote, smiley face, and then I decide how I want to approach the situation, dot, dot, dot.
Does that
That's
work?
Amazing.
Yeah, it's all in there.
Oh my god. And that looks like the emails you sent me.
There you go.
Really?
Top to the hand.
Yeah.
I'm gonna start doing that. It fills coffee.
Oh,
if I'm that dude in the corner of the coffee shop talking to myself, that's
what I do. Like, I literally, like, I stand online and fills coffee, which is one of my favorite products in San Francisco, if not the country. I don't know if it qualifies, but it's really good. And I'll dictate. All the time, and I get so much more done.
Have you been dictating and someone interrupts you, and you're like, God damn it.
No, you know what happens is there's this new little class emerging called Dictation Bombers. And so basically I'll be dictating at home, like while I'm putting dinner on the table for my kids and my younger son, who just can't stand to hear me dictate. He'll just be like, smiley face, quote, unquote, quote, unquote, and then it's all in there.
What did you mean by
that? Yeah, that's awesome.
That's
really,
a great idea.
Really funny.
Absolutely.
So there's dictation bomb.
Yeah.
I'm going to try that more often now.
The voice gets bigger and bigger. There's no reason why that won't pick up a thing.
The best was, you know, when was the last time you left a voicemail for someone? Probably not in a long time.
Yeah.
So probably of all the people I speak to, maybe, I don't even know, who do I leave voicemails for? Like doctor appointments. Like not really. So the other day I was leaving a voicemail for a doctor and I did it in dictation voice because it was so embarrassing.
So I said
hi, it's Tina Turner, period, space, return.
Oh, we're turning
and
into robots.
I went
robots.
To see the doctor, and they were like, something you want to share? I'm like, oh, well, we definitely need a longer sentence.
You said your knee hurt, but I think your head needs some
Exactly. It was really funny, because you get really into the dictation voice, and I hadn't left a voicemail in so long. It was really, really funny.
I remember Dragon Speak from back in the day. Did you ever use that?
Dragon Dictation's great.
Yeah.
It's gotten better, too. My son broke his arm in two places last year and could not type for school, and so we got him Dragon Dictation. It was awesome.
Yeah, I tried to get my grandpa on it, and I'm like, all right, grandpa, sit here for 30 minutes and talk to this thing. And he used it for a while, but it was still just too clumsy. And this
it's
was
gotten
like
much better,
ago.
And but you're going to see. Just try and use Siri regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, that's not an iPhone 6, but when you get one, or it's literally twice as good as that. It's one
is
of the
speed,
best improvements.
Because of the speed.
The speed, the anticipation, the grammar correction, the... It's like, it's very, very good. It's very good. And I've been using it now for 6 months, so I actually can see the difference. It's great.
I'm going to try that. I should do an experiment. For 1 week, I only reply to emails in dictation.
Yeah, see what happens.
See what happens.
Good, because if you can spur on, like, products that are coming to enhance that, that would be awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's my productivity tip.
I like that.
I'm curious, would that make email better? Like, we'll have to see, I guess, right? But does it help with email, or is it then so easy to respond to emails that you're going to start maybe reply more? Make really long emails for the other person. It's easy for you. I mean, I've created work for Eric where he's got to listen to your smiley face, and then parse it. Figure out what to do with
it. That's why I like Twitter when people tweet me, because you can just favorite it, and that tells them that you've heard it, but you don't have to continue the conversation, and they don't feel ignored.
Yeah. We've started using, like, we use thumbs up in Slack. When I was at Yammer, we would like something, and you can see the quantity. You get the context, too, though, because you see, like, if David Sachs liked it, okay, we're going to go build that thing. If, like, some rando liked it, less so. So, like, it communicates context. I mean, like, which brings up things like Yo and context with, like, single bits, if you will. Like, that's an interesting concept.
What apps have changed the way you communicate with your friends or family more than anything else, like in the past year or so? Is there anything that you've adopted that you've now been using to communicate more frequently?
So, unlike you, I don't introduce my family to the latest, like, things that much.
I just got him on Telegram. His message me is
you
going
mean your mom isn't on TapTalk?
No, somehow. Yeah. No. I, like, how offensive would it be if I use, like, PathTalk? I treat my mom like a business and be like, hey, mom, can you come home next week? Can you make, like,
laundry?
Yeah. Like, can you help make, like, dinner? Like, all this Indian food I've been waiting for? That would be really bad if I mix up, like, anyway, I won't even go down that road. Because I introduced my family to really, like, basic things like Google Hangouts and, like, text. And my dad, like, texts us back being like, stop texting, pick up the phone and call us. So it's like, I haven't gotten away with, like, and I don't, I'm not sure I want to necessarily too. And that's, like, an interesting debate too. Because, like, text is great. Like, it achieved 90% of it for us. Yeah. And I feel like Hangouts my parents love now. We have a Sunday hangout and, like, that's great. It's super easy.
Every Sunday you hang out?
Sunday, like, 5 o'clock. Pacific and yeah. Like that works really well, but that's the hard part with family or like in workplaces, bringing in something new even if it's going to be better is like really hard to get adopted, I feel like. So
yeah,
I've stopped like SMS and Hangouts.
I haven't asked, but do you use anything with your family, like any social apps?
No. It's interesting, my parents were developers in like the early 70s, like they were, you know, when it was just getting started. My mom was like the only coder in her school, and they had a software company for like 15 years, and then they just pretty much stopped and became like, not Luddites, but something like, just stopped caring. Yeah. I think, yeah, they just reached a certain age, I guess.
Yeah, for me, it's not as much about social applications as it is products and services that they may not be aware of that may be driven through apps, but are actually like task rabbits. Like, did you know that you can do a task rabbit? Oh, I didn't know that. Did you know that you can pay your parking meter by pay by phone? Did you know? So it's more like showing them the links to products that are driven by this remote control called our iPhone, but actually can create better productivity in the real world. I feel like that is a place where I'm constantly showing people new products and services that I love that could affect their life and actually does migrate things that they might already be doing or looking for to a new place.
Yeah.
More so than, you know, get on whatever.
Snapchat
with
you. Yeah, yeah. When my parents visited about a year ago, this was back when, well, I guess Uber and Lyft had been around for a while, but my dad's like, you should probably call a taxi, like, it might be like a half an hour for them to get here and everything, and I'm like, Dad, watch this. So I open up Uber, and I, like, you know, request an Uber, and then I show him, like, Dad, see that? That's the car coming to where we are. And he's like, wait a minute, like, you can see them coming in real time? That's, like, them? And it blew his mind. Now, they're in Eugene, Oregon, so they don't have Lyft and Uber, or maybe they just recently expanded there, but it's all new to them.
Yeah.
And now that's how I get around most of the time. If it's not my legs, it's Uber, usually, or Lyft.
What I find is, being a mom, I have a 12 and 15-year-old boys, so I'm watching them adopt things that, and they don't think of me as an early adopter, but I am. They just don't know, they don't have that context of me. So I just was at the lobby in L.A. this weekend, and I don't normally post a ton on Instagram, but I walked in the door. They hadn't seen me in 5 days. And I walked in the door, and my 12-year-old walked up to me, and he said, 24 posts on Instagram? Instagram is unacceptable. And then he walked away.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And I was like, you can... And as he's walking away, I see his back. I go, you can unfollow me! Yeah. And he said, I already did.
This is such an epic scene.
You're just so clogging my feed, Mom. Yeah. Like, that's just not acceptable.
Well, there's sort of these social norms on different networks. On Twitter, for example, most people, you shouldn't post too much or people will unfollow you. It's like, that's kind of a social norm. Instagram has an even higher bar, I think, for most people, but I'm kind of curious how it's different between like us and teenagers and even like young kids. Like, are their social norms different than us?
Well, you know what's interesting? When I was at the lobby, we sat down with the CEO of Match, Sam, who started OkCupid and then they incubated Tinder. And we were talking a lot about Tinder and Facebook because the generation that's using Tinder has rejected Facebook. However, the only way to have an optimized Tinder feed is to do it off of Facebook.
Oh, yeah,
so in many ways, Tinder has become lead gen for Facebook to keep people on Facebook. And so that's like that relationship and that reverse ecosystem is like actually a retention mechanism that Facebook is totally paying attention to, because otherwise they're losing that demographic. And so it's just interesting to see the hooks and bridges between products and services and what's keeping people where and how is Facebook universal logon sign in impacting the way people use different products or services, or vice versa. Just the opposite. Like, I don't want to pull off my Facebook feed. Well, then you can't play with that product.
Yeah.
So that I thought was really interesting, that whole conversation.
Are young kids on Tinder, like 12-year-old?
I hope not. I hope not. No. I don't mean so much that demo, but like, you know.
Pretty young cop.
I don't know. I would hope 18 to 25 would be my hope. But
I wouldn't be surprised if, like, not just hopefully not that, because then there's too much like bleeding between things, but they get their own form of it where like it is faster, it is like it avoids the social awkwardness, and like originally it was solving a certain problem of like, oh, like I don't have to put a profile, or like have to like the quote friction of like going through these things of like
asking a girl out.
Yeah, exactly. Of real life.
You can imagine middle school or high school but with Tinder, like that would be
But I think that like those metaphors of, you know, swiping and quick takes will be maybe how soccer coaches will recruit for elementary soccer teams. You know, that maybe it's not Facebook they're coming off of, maybe it's something else. But if you optimize your feed as a middle school athlete and it all gets pulled in, I mean, if you've ever watched the way these coaches recruit, it's like a hassle because some people are using apps to record stats and some are on paper, and then they all get together and then they have to, like, you know, do the teams. But I'm sure that the metaphors of swiping and liking and all of that will be applied very broadly across other things. Like, that's a metaphor and a gesture that I see as a platform gesture for the next generation of product experiences.
Yeah, we did a collection of Tinder for X products a while ago. And I mean, there's really a Tinder for everything. A lot of people are using these design interactions. And let's see, there's one for, I mean, there's a Tinder for Reddit, so you can consume Reddit content like Tinder. There's one for Tinder for dogs, for adopting dogs. There's Tinder for threesomes, no joke, that exists. There's Tinder for jobs, meeting people for coffee, Tinder for Jewish people. I mean, it's all over the place.
Yeah. Tinder for Jewish people. Somebody sent me that and I actually took a screenshot of like the different versions. I am Jewish and I just thought that was hilarious. But I think if you were to check in on that every quarter for the next 2 years, you'll start to see it cluster like amongst different industries and other kinds of things.
Yeah.
And then the question is, where's the source file coming from? And then who's building the ecosystem of places to have the repository? Because right now it's Facebook. But it might be something else. LinkedIn might have some Tinder for jobs where it's not coming off of Facebook, it's coming off of something else.
I think social graphs are going.
Weave is like Tinder for networking and uses LinkedIn.
Yeah,
exactly. Sure.
So, I mean, for now, like, they're still building on top of these platforms. It'll be interesting to see at some point, is owning the interaction more important, or owning the data, or like, is there one player that owns both?
Exactly.
And what happens if LinkedIn releases its version of this, which it could, but is it like not, you know, the thing people want to adopt?
Poke to a Snapchat, you know, so okay, Facebook says, wait a second, people are doing this, we need our own Tinder, but really? Or is it going to be a poke versus a Snapchat? And the focus on single-minded focus on building something that's with single use case, with an audience, with a very specific point of view, and then drafting off of these other ecosystems. At some point, Tinder will want to have the source material, but maybe not.
What do you think there's Facebook, which is the biggest social graph out there, or arguably your contacts list maybe is bigger, or it is bigger technically. There's Twitter. What other social graphs do you see as rising to prominence that could be leveraged in the future? Anything that comes to mind? Like for me, I'm thinking about Snapchat and what Snapchat's going to do in the next year. And they have an API that's somewhat limited and I believe whitelisted to certain people, certain companies. But will Snapchat move in that direction and start enabling people to have these social interactions and become more of a platform?
I'm not sure. I feel like one way of thinking about it, and the thing that is attractive about Facebook, one of the things is like there's all this hopefully interesting information about people you care about. So then it's like, well, if that's a underlying quality, where else can that information come from? And like a trend right now that's been going on for some time, I think, right, is the whole like online powering offline behavior, and you like meet people in real life, you have experiences. But like, I don't typically have a great way of weaving together the people I've met across all these
sort of real world experiences that I have, and I wonder if those could be powerful sources. I don't know a single player that is either positioned to bring them, other than the like usual suspects.
Yeah.
But that would be, to me, that would be really interesting, because some of my most powerful experiences are, like, this conversation right now is a really powerful experience, and like for me personally is better than still than like having like a really quick few like Twitter conversations with people.
Yeah.
But there's not a network that's pulling that back together somehow, especially across outlets, like across Airbnb, across Uber.
Yeah,
like,
contextual conversations that are rooted in an idea, mm-hmm. but that are free form within the construct of something that's more framed.
Yeah.
Which is what this is, and that yeah. you would enjoy because you like contextual. It's a contextual conversation,
yeah.
but it's like, is that a thread? I mean, look, at the end of the day, the message board, you know, is still one of the most vibrant sources of community interaction.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Core is trying to do it in their curatorial way with questions. Yeah. And you know, every time somebody comes to me and say they're launching this community, and we get into what do they mean by community, and it turns out that the base of that community is message boards.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Yahoo Groups is still how so many groups interact, and no one's really seeded it from them. And everyone says, "Wow, that's such a fertile ground to innovate on," but no one's really done it. And I don't know whether because they haven't done it well, or because it's just such a vanilla thing that it's just going to stay vanilla and it's always going to be vanilla. Don't know. But
yeah.
Cora and others have tried to Cafe Mom on the vertical side. Okay, they tried to make it contextual, and you know, lots of people try and make it contextual around the special interest groups that they have, and then they try and hang commerce off of it, and they try and hang articles and information off of it, and you see that vertical by vertical, and they're vibrant and they're great, but the more narrowly focused they are, the better.
Mm-hmm.
Like meetups, you know, was Scott built that to be offline meetings for online communities, but the more those offline communities get vibrant, people want to go back and have forums. So forums
exactly.
become a part of it. It's like, okay, we're back at forums. Here we go.
Yeah.
Wait, back to the future.
Yeah. Yeah, that is an interesting point. I mean, there are very few new types of interactions that thrive long term. And I think Twitter is one example of a kind of more recent interaction between people that's definitely new and novel. And, you know, what network was using a following model that really rose to prominence before Twitter? Was there any? I mean,
if so, we've already forgotten about it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think Twitter is probably the most transformational new interaction model that I've seen at scale.
Well, because I think it says something that if we think back, I mean, I know I, for one, have a short memory when it comes to products, and you play something, you move on, you forget how
yeah.
weird something might have been. But I remember there was something, now it seems obvious that, like, oh, you can follow somebody and they can follow you back. And the fact that Twitter has, quote, succeeded
yeah.
gives that, like, credibility to say that that makes sense. But I remember it was originally weird because I think people were comparing it to Facebook. And it's like, wait, so it's
yeah.
not bidirectional. But, like, wait, anybody can follow me? I'm worried about the privacy of that.
Yeah.
So I think that had there been somebody who had really done that well before, Twitter wouldn't have had as many issues necessarily educating the public and its user base about that. And I'm sure it's existed. We can find precedents.
Yeah.
But certainly not to the scale and level of social acceptability.
Yeah, I also think that mobility has changed the stuff a ton, because that always-on interaction, especially if you combine mobility with bite size,
mm-hmm.
So that people can have these transient
yeah.
gestures into the conversation, has made a huge difference than people waiting to go back to their forum and have much longer conversations that would used to be a desktop. And now when everyone starts dictating, they'll be able to even get more interactions.
Yeah.
Because you can dictate your tweets too, just so you know. Anywhere where there's a cursor, you could use the microphone. Just say it.
Carlton GIF. Office GIF.
I was going to say, how's it going to work for all your GIFs?
That's true.
Did you guys think Quora would scale? Because what's interesting about Quora is it's just so easy to find fascinating conversations about things I'm interested in. They happen all the time on Twitter, but I just have a tough time. If you don't see it in the moment, it's tough to...
Yeah, I wasn't sure that would happen, and the jury might still be out to what extent it
yeah.
will happen. Because finding really interesting content and getting people motivated enough to write that and share
yeah.
it, like, wasn't something that 5 or 10 years ago I think people were... You know, it's like, wait, what's in it for me? And like, oh, wait, now that it's a platform, and oh, I could be a writer of the year, and like,
yeah.
oh, you're... And that matters now today. People's brands are like partially determined by like Jason Lemkin, I know because of what he writes on Quora.
Right.
Like, and if that means deal flow for their firm eventually or something like, that makes a real difference. And that wasn't true necessarily some amount of time. And to be fair, the example I brought up is still in the Silicon Valley.
Right.
Yeah, but I would say the blogosphere, you know, 10 years ago was really the place where followers, like before Twitter, and where comments and real communities were built in mm-hmm. the threads below the post, which gave context for the conversations,
mm-hmm.
especially when the blogger themselves was engaged in the conversation. So they posted, and then people would comment, and then the writer would come in and really engage. Those mm-hmm. are probably before and even more robust than Twitter because it's you know it's longer form.
Yeah, it's fitting we're talking about blogging because Medium used to work in this building. I think they moved out
in
maybe
this office.
A year. Oh, is this
You're
office?
Sitting
really
in the office? That chair?
Okay.
No, not that
just
chair.
Just write a blog post before you leave.
So, exactly. Fun fact: before
that's Epps Bar,
is it?
Yes. So not fun, as alcohol.
I hope not.
Sure, be drank by then.
The wine's better. Yeah.
Exactly.
So, fun fact: I actually I interviewed at Medium before Product Hunt when I was exploring what to do after Playhaven, and so it was in this office then.
Yeah,
it was actually like two doors over.
Yep. It's
yeah.
Totally in this office.
Yeah. So, what do you think about Medium? I mean, it's been around 2-3 years now. I feel like, and it's been rising. It's been growing, but it never seems to, it hasn't broken out. I feel like it hasn't hit that like critical massive appeal. I mean, based on my own stats that I get when I write something and just based on my observations, I feel like it's just like a slow gradual growth and improvement, but I haven't seen it just break out. What do you think about Medium?
I mean, I for one hope that they do because yeah. like I would love for long form content and like the sort of interesting things that I see people talking about on Medium that I don't necessarily find mm-hmm. elsewhere. I want it to succeed. I wonder though if it has an uphill battle because we are living in a world of GIFs and 140 characters and,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever, favorite something instead of saying, like, really great post, really appreciated the thought you put into it. Now I favorite it instead. And, like, that is a, those things, I think, get more headwind, or maybe it's just the media narrative that I'm falling, you know, into believing, but that's my sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want it to succeed because I feel like there's an important place in society for, like, long-form content, deep thought, but I wonder if everybody else is just preying on our short attention spans and those are the things that keep traction and
yeah.
maybe that means it's an uphill battle for things like
I don't think it has to be long form. I mean a lot of it mm-hmm. is, but I guess it's long form relative to Twitter. What I like about Medium and why I wanted to explore even working there is just because I think if you can get more people to write and more people to share ideas and spread
mm-hmm.
good word and more thought, I think it's just better for humanity. And that sounds really cheesy, but I think it's true. And so that's why I do like what Medium's doing. I just haven't seen him kind of break out beyond, like, to make any significant leaps to, like,
I
make
it
something.
I think it requires great writers, and I think that, you know, they've done a tremendous job at attracting some great writers in the last even 90 days.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to see. I mean, in my mind, Medium is like Huffington Post 2.0.
Yeah.
Because it's longer form, they're attracting great writers, they're not really paying people in the same way. People are doing it because they authentically have something they want to share.
Yeah.
They're going to, as the platform gets more robust and they have more writers against more verticals around more subject with more timeliness, so you actually know what to expect, and they will ultimately become a news source, they will ultimately become a special interest source, they will ultimately become a personality source for writers and voices. And yet it's the next generation of, like, publishing. So
mm-hmm.
is it the New New Yorker? Is it the New Huffington Post? Is it some hybrid in between? But I really like it, and mm-hmm. I think it's going to take a while for some of those quality voices that are moving from other, you know, paid traditional media platforms, whether it's Wired or the New York Times. We're seeing great writers start to come onto Medium.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, like, great content trumps all.
Yeah.
So I think that will... Great ideas like that and great voices like that telegraph, and people want to read really quality stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what would you change in Medium right now? If you were to change one thing, is there any feature or I don't know something you would make different to improve it? I know it's a
good question.
Putting you on the spot.
No, that's a good question. For one, quick, this is not answering it, but
yeah.
something I appreciated was that you can import very easily. I found that out over the weekend.
Yeah, you released that last week or the week before.
Oh, so it's a recent development.
Yeah,
I thought I missed out on it for a while. But
yeah.
Like, so I took my Tumblr post and I pasted it in there because, frankly, it looks a lot better in Medium.
Yeah.
But yet there's this world now where people are publishing across multiple... I mean, this has been true for some time, I guess, but
mm-hmm.
the same post I want on Medium, I want it on Tumblr, I want it on maybe, like, LinkedIn as the influencer thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then right now, maybe somebody can, like, hunt a product that does this where you can just check a bunch of boxes.
It's funny. It's sort of like responsive design sort of showed up, 3 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
And now that's just a baseline. Like, you know, you have to have responsive design.
Mm-hmm.
But I think responsive publishing, in a way, so if you're a writer, you know, and you want to put out 500 words, you can not just manually go. And I started blogging for the Wall Street Journal. And I'm like, oh, I should probably put this on LinkedIn. Should I repost this on Medium? I don't know.
Yeah.
Where do I want to put this stuff? The journal's handling, like, the blog side of it. So I think this whole idea of responsive publishing might be a place where Medium becomes really a thought leader.
Yeah, that would be great.
I mean, if they're doing this import, so that would be like both something that's good about them, but they could probably do better. Like, if I go there because I want to write there because the publisher is beautiful and that's great, and like
because that's their signature, right? It was the publishing tools, because that's why I said they'll be a great place for great voices. Mm-hmm. And so people feel like, wow, you know, right now I'm publishing in Wired, I'm publishing in the New York Times, but Medium is gonna be able to give the kind of platform and gravitas in a way to my writing that I had expected from elsewhere. Then how do we actually disseminate these voices? Because I don't have the same sub list, I don't have a marketing department, I don't have the things that I had in my other establishments. So Medium helping those people build audiences and audience development with potentially responsive publishing, sourcing it off of Medium and Medium tools would be really interesting.
Yeah, that's cool. Especially you were mentioning distribution before. You're like, oh, I haven't seen the distribution I wanted either. Like something like that.
Exactly. Do you use Draft, or you've heard of Draft?
Yeah, and I like the publisher, especially this Hemingway mode. Have you tried this? Where you just like, that's awesome.
I don't write that down. So I guess this is all a podcast, so I could listen to it.
Draft
we are recording, yes.
It's a great
I hope so. Oh, shoot. No.
Wasted it twice.
Draft is great, though. I use it, you know, I write everything in Draft. And the reason for that is, one, it's my central repository for everything I've written. And it does allow you to export and publish to different platforms. Now, not all of them. Mm-hmm. I wish I could push to Medium. That'd be great.
So it kind of is a responsive publishing platform.
Yeah, you can push to Tumblr, to WordPress. You can export HTML and Markdown. So I would love to see Medium provide not just importing but exporting, so that you can start writing everything in Medium, and now I can push it to my Tumblr blog. I
should buy Draft and then just build on it.
Yeah, have you heard that? Nathan's a great guy. You should talk to him.
Done.
Yeah, perfect.
Before this podcast comes out. Done.
Yeah.
Actually, that's a good transition. We were talking about term sheets, and we were talking about interesting companies that we're passionate about, and you know, whilst Jason. Is the first company that we've created alongside one of our corporate members at Chirpa Foundry. Our members are eBay and Condé Nast and DreamWorks and Salesforce. Mm-hmm. And under Jason's leadership, is the first product that we've created as part of that kind of strategic incubation with a founder-led company that we're getting behind. But on the Chirpa Ventures side of the house, we're also investing in some really interesting stuff that we're like wildly passionate about, which falls into my bucket of what are the productivity tools? It's more for me like, oh, what are the new services? Like you talked about your dad and Uber. I'm personally obsessed with Ship, S-H-Y-P.
Yeah.
If you haven't used it, it only works right now in San Francisco, although they just rolled it out to New York and they're rolling it out to many other places, but it basically puts the quote-unquote UPS store on your iPhone. And so if we wanted to ship this microphone to your next location, you just were doing carry-on or whatever reason you couldn't fit it, just you know, open up the Ship application, take a picture of it, say where you want it to go, right in the app. Mm-hmm. Within 15 minutes, the Ship Hero, which are their guys or
within
gals,
15 minutes?
Yep.
I didn't realize it was that
they would be up
fast.
Here. They would come, they would take it, and then you would get email or messaging or texting, depending on how you want to be communicating with, on the journey of that microphone to its location. You don't have to wrap it. You don't have to touch it. You literally just take a picture of it, tell them where you are. You could be at a Phil's coffee shop, and they'll come get it from you.
They'll bring the box and everything.
They don't bring the box. Wow. They bring it back to their central headquarters, which is here in South San Francisco. And not only do they provide that service, which is awesome, but the guys who founded it paid their way through college by being eBay power sellers. So they became obsessed with optimized shipping because that's where they were making a lot of their money. And the first company they launched was like the Kayak of shipping rates. They realized that was like a little too geeky for people, like so they, but they still took all that technology on how to optimize shipping, and then they even have a custom box cutter. So when you go to like a UPS store, you probably have, I don't know, like five choices of the boxes. So oftentimes, if you wanted to mail that microphone, the likelihood that you could find a shoebox that size would probably be low.
Right.
So you might end up with a box twice the size, put in a lot of those noodles or whatever they're called, bubble wrap, and you're paying for that bigger box. What Ship will do is they scan this microphone, and then they have a custom box builder. The scan goes into the box builder. It spits out a box exactly the size that you want, so it reduces your shipping costs. And so you're actually paying the best shipping rates.
I didn't realize that. That's
and it's really awesome. And so the combination of offline logistics, rate optimization, and then you know using your iPhone as sort of the way to document that. So there's no paper filling out, because by the time you've called them, you already know where it's going, and they already know where it's going. So much of the logistics are already built into the system. So it's awesome, and that's one of the companies in our portfolio we love.
We'll have to use that for shipping kitty stickers.
Yeah.
No, people, and you know what? People are shipping t-shirts. People are using it as outsourced mail rooms. People are using it, you know, for a lot of people have like that, you know, vase they didn't send to Aunt Sally. They meant to, but like they got to go to the store. They got to get the bubble wrap. They got to get insured, like the whole thing. They'll just take the vase and boom, done.
Yeah.
And they'll handle all the wrapping and they're specialist in that. So it's pretty awesome. Another company I love, another Sherpa Ventures company is Beepi. I don't know if you know about Beepi, B-E-E-P-I, but it's an end-to-end online used car marketplace.
That's right. Jamie Davidson told me about this a while ago, yeah.
It's so much fun. I mean, it's hard to imagine, you know, even a few years ago that you would buy a car you've never driven, but it has a 10-day money-back guarantee, so their cars are awesome. They come to your house totally detailed. You never have to go to a car lot. You never have to deal with used car salesmen. You know exactly the pricing and where it sits in the pricing. And if it turns out that that bicycle you wanted to fit in the hatchback doesn't fit, you just give the car back.
Yeah.
They bring it with this gorgeous bow wrapped up in it and it's shiny with, you know, it's just a great experience. And on the other side of that, if you've ever tried to sell a car, putting it on Craigslist and having a mechanic certify it and like, oh, and when are you going to meet the person to drive the car and what if they're creepy and what if they return it? Like, as a woman, just like the last thing I want to do is sell a car on Craigslist. Like, I can't think of, like, I could think of 50,000 things I would rather do before that, which is why I always sell my car through the dealer, which is such a ripoff. But it's just easier. It's like I don't have to deal with the things that I actually don't know anything about. I buy cars by color, so I don't have a clue. So they come to your house or your place of car ownership, and they have a mechanic that has, like, literally 135-point diagnostic tool better than BMW's. In your driveway, they figure out what your car is worth and if they're willing to put it on their marketplace. And then you keep your car. And if in 30 days they don't sell it, they'll buy it from you. And so they take certain cars.
So you're guaranteed to sell it.
Yeah, and you can drive it up until the day it's sold. And there's no meeting people in alleyways or parking lots and other kinds of things, which is kind of, you know, where else do you meet people with your car? Oh, well, there's a parking, there's a... There's a, you know, what's it called? A big driveway, like off 101 on this place. Yeah. That's a good place. Like, really?
Yeah.
I don't think I'm doing that. So, anyway, so that's another company we're really excited about.
Yeah, I had my Mini Cooper for a while, and I just kept hanging on to it because I was too lazy to list it and then deal with selling it
there
and everything.
There you go.
I ended up driving it back to my parents' house, and my dad was gracious enough to just handle it for me.
Right. Well, there you go. All that, just like selling, you know, you're sending the vase to Aunt Sally. Like, it's just those... What we often look for are friction points in the system, and if an entrepreneur has figured out a way through in digital platforms and services to remove that friction and create much more of like an automagical experience around something where there's a huge industry and a huge installed base and lots of flow, but somebody's kind of leapfrogging the industry. Munchery is another great example of that. We're obsessed with Munchery. I don't know if you've ever used it, but
I haven't, but I'm familiar.
Yeah, it's fantastic, but you know, it's instead of takeout food, they're actually bringing chefs into the Munchery kitchen, and you're getting a fantastic meal that you're not reheating. You're actually finally cooking it at your house. They cook it 90% at Munchery, so you're finishing it at your house. So it's super fresh, and you know you get the notifications. The prices are better than what you pay in takeout, and it's as good as any kind of 3-4-star place. And you get to know the different chefs and who you like. You can mix and match. You can do kid size or family size. And another great service that just kind of...
What about, like, I'm super hungry size? Like, I want, like, the triple portion. I'm going to stuff my face.
You can order a few things.
I don't know. Like, if I open the door and I'm, like, a single guy there ordering three things, the guy's going to judge me.
Just look really generous.
It's a no judgment. Yeah. You don't have to say who you're serving.
Yeah. I'll just say I have friends in the back.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So those are just three of the companies. And there's others that, you know, from a... In terms of... examples of things that extend from productivity to and using your Mini Cooper example where it actually just takes it's something you wanted to do anyways, something you need to do, it just makes everything easier. The way that we felt about TaskRabbit when it first came out, or Uber when you see how many cars are coming, they just move you from that state of anxiety or that state of frustration to that place of joy and ease.
Cool. Well, thanks for having us. This is
fun.
Awesome. Cool. Anything you want to mention before we jump?
I see the construction
is getting like worse.
Exactly.
The cube.
Yeah, what do you, you want to mention anything about Do? You launched, like, what, 3 months ago, I want to say?
Yeah, end of July. Yeah. So if you have a lot of meetings, just use Do. Fortunately, you guys, like, hopefully enjoying the meetings that you guys have. And you have like,
they're the best. Yeah. We had a sync up today. It was great.
Do you guys have a weekly team?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So it's Monday morning. And
yep.
Yeah. It's really worth investing in Do meetings because your team, obviously, with your new round of venture funding, and by the way, we're so psyched for you guys. We love Product Hunt, so we definitely want to mention that because we think what you're doing is awesome and it's a great service to all the entrepreneurs and passionate users out there. But you're clearly going to grow your team. There's a culture that you're building. You're going to want to amplify that culture and train people in that culture and also have people catch up, yet you're moving so quickly that you're not going to have a ton of time to do that. What we found, even recently, we brought in a new principal into Sherpa Ventures, and rather than having to have him be quote-unquote onboarded, we said, you know what, let's just provide access to every last investment committee meeting that we've had because we do them all on Do. Mm-hmm. So all the investment memos are there, the opinions are there, the agendas are there, the follow-ups are there, the open items are there. So all he had to do was sit down, dig into the basically the Earl string of all these meetings that had happened over the last 12 weeks, and he was up to speed, and no one had to find docs for him, or there was no, let me forward this to you, wait, let me get you this thing. Yeah. So it was just, even post-meeting, it's even more useful as a document and an archive of what you're doing.
It becomes more useful the more you use it.
Yeah, so the more you use it, the smarter it gets. But if you commit to it in that sense, then you actually have a live archive. So the institutional knowledge that you're building and that you're going to want to scale when you onboard your teams, when you bring on other people, and when you start to work in other offices and remote locations, it's awesome. Because otherwise you're going to be like, do you have that deck? Do you have that transcript? Can you forward me that? I'm not sure. Where was that list? Weren't you curating a list for that? Did you find that? I don't know. Hit me that, guys. So all the things. This probably sounds just like an average conversation, but
sounds
if you put them all into meetings, you just find them all. And now it's
smiley face, smiley face,
smiley face, smiley face, quote, end quote. End quote. Yes. So I love it for that because like, I'm finding it's useful even more in arrears than when we're actually using it in real time.
Yeah. Cool. Awesome. We should check that out.
Yeah.
Sweet. Well, thanks.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.